Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Well, activity in the nation's capital comes to a screeching halt when the Wizards begin the regular season, as they are tonight in Milwaukee, taking on the Bucks.
We're looking forward to it. Looking for a win.
We are. I don't know if the people in D.C. know that there is a team in the nation's capital.
Oh, ouch.
We know there's Scott McFarlane in the nation's capital, CBS congressional correspondent, who joins us every Wednesday. Hey, Scott.
Good afternoon. Thanks for playing 112 and Cupid. Nice little song. The afternoon. Do you want the good news or the better news about the Washington Wizards?
We'll take the better news.
I want both.
Okay. I'm going to go with Jasper. The good news is Chris Middleton plays here.
Yes.
And you know, that doesn't hurt. The better news is if you, Gina, me, and Jess want to get together, we could be the other starting five, and they'd be fine with that in Washington. That would be, that'd be an upgrade over what we've been seeing over the last few years.
What position are you playing, Scott?
I'll be your center.
Okay, that's
center.
What I thought.
I think Greg runs point, right?
Greg's really tall, too, so I wasn't sure who was taking center.
Yeah,
I feel like I
call.
Could be point guard. No?
Sure, yeah. How's your lateral speed?
This is a
medium.
Good place for the Bucks to get up and get started.
Yeah, get good right play. Game at the start of the season.
Right.
We'll check in. It could be a long season for the Wizards. Hey, that's okay. Before we dive into stuff you're working on here, Scott, we had a conversation with Linda Kenyon yesterday. It was just about some random stuff happening in D.C. I think it was about National Guard troops, but that's beside the point. The most interesting component of the conversation...
This was great.
...was this nugget. Gina, do you have it available here? Can you play it? It's the Tom Hanks coffee nugget. Stand by. 1 second. So she had mentioned that. I'd asked. I'm like, what are you doing out there? Do they cater these things you go to or anything? She said, no, no food, no water. Got to bring your own everything. There is a water fountain.
Then I asked if they had a stealthy Starbucks because we know we've talked to you about that one.
So the conversation turned to coffee, and she tried to keep it under wraps, saying, well, there is some Hollywood type, not going to mention his name, who sends us a coffee maker every so often.
So I think she's referring to the White House press corps, because Tom Hanks is known to help give White House press members a lift by getting them coffee. But he's gotten some publicity for that in the past, that he helps the White House press corps in the way that journalists appreciate most, which is with coffee.
Smart.
If he's inclined to send it here, it would save me $7 a day, and I'm all for that.
$7 a day, I know that is insane. Okay.
Well, we love that inside information. Yeah.
Okay, I think we're going to have to bring that soundbite to you at a later point. But hey, we've got to talk about this. The government shutdown. Scott, we've been talking about it for weeks, but it is now the second longest government shutdown in U.S. history. Is there any behind-the-scenes movement that suggests a resolution is on the way or maybe further away than the public realizes?
No, there's no steps of progress. There's nothing to report positively. But this shutdown's even dumber than you think, though. We are still at an impasse here over how to fund the government for 7 weeks. They aren't trying to fund the government through all of 2026. They're trying to just get 7 weeks of money, and they can't figure out how to do that and get to an agreement. We are halfway through the 7 weeks. By the time they come up with this, the 7 weeks will have passed, and they're going to have to fight this battle all over again in a different way. The Republicans would argue that's why the Democrats are at fault, because they're just trying to do what they call a clean bill. No changes, just 7 more weeks of funding. Nothing changes. We can reopen the government and start negotiations on whatever you want. Democrats would argue that's exactly why we should be negotiating now, because we're just walking in quicksand here. And if we don't fix this health care problem, we're going to be in a real mess, even transcendent of a government shutdown. So pick your poison. It's an ink blot test of where you are politically. But the shutdown has gone beyond beyond frustrating. It's gotten into the level of stupid.
Well, I'm happy to see members of our military are being paid. I don't like them being used as a political prop, however, Scott, if I'm being candid, that's a main political pressure point here in these discussions. So if they are getting paid, though several thousands of federal workers are not and programs are frozen, what's the next inflection point here?
Yeah, it's a mixed thing, isn't it, Greg? Where if you eliminate the pain points, to avoid crisis. You make sure the military gets paid. You make sure the federal law enforcement gets paid. You ensure that, you know, that, that the hospitals, the veterans hospitals, have everything they need. You eliminate the short-term crisis. You eliminate the unacceptable condition. But when you eliminate the short-term crisis and you eliminate the unacceptable conditions, you've made it easier to continue the standoff. So you have a prolonged shutdown that is a little less painful than it would otherwise be to some people. So you're going to have a longer standoff. But lost, the quiet voices that are lost in all this are the furloughed federal workers who go without pay, some of whom still have to work
right
without pay. And there is no guarantee those paychecks are coming back, that they'll be made whole. They've always been made whole in the past. And the president signed a law during the previous shutdown, the record long one in 2018, to ensure back pay. But there's no faith that that's going to hold. There's been a certain lawlessness to how Congress and president have been working together or not working together. I don't know that anybody feels comfortable that money's coming back.
I keep watching what's happening at the airport, Scott, because I'll tell you what, I was talking with a TSA agent. The person is not in the Milwaukee area, elsewhere, but and this TSA agent said, hopefully this one won't last much longer. Just my opinion, when the air traffic controllers start getting the, quote, flu and travel is impacted, it usually wraps up. The TSA agent told me legally none of us can strike or stage sick outs, but it happens. And this particular TSA agent was working for the TSA during the last government shutdown. So this particular person kind of knows it well what happens.
Yeah, there have been these moments in the past where you have these, what they call essential workers, Jess, those who can't be furloughed and sent home, that you have to have. If they go without pay in that interim period, some of them just don't come into work. I don't think it's necessarily out of principle, but out of practicality. They have to make money to pay the rent. So they may go substitute teach, find a side hustle, do something else to ensure that, you know, the kids are fed. That's been an issue in the past. If the administration moves money around to ensure TSA, air traffic controllers, other essential workers still get their paychecks during this impasse, you won't see that. But I think we are already starting to see some disruption to air travel. That, I think, to answer Greg's previous question, is the next pain point that could leverage people to start talking.
CBS Congressional Correspondent Scott McFarland joining us from Washington. So interesting nugget here, Scott. Why is President Trump seeking $230 million from his own Justice Department?
Why is a great question that we're not going to be able to answer. And if anybody says they know the answer, they're exaggerating or they're overstating their knowledge. We know that he has filed claims seeking some type of damages for the criminal investigations, the Department of Justice investigations into him before he became president again. And these are pretty well-known investigations, one into his effort to overturn the 2020 election, including the results in Wisconsin, and the allegations that he mishandled and improperly kept classified records at Mar-a-Lago. He has said, when questioned about this, that it is odd. He's acknowledged it's odd that he's kind of seeking money from himself. He's seeking money from his own government. He would have to approve it, but that hasn't stopped the effort. And CBS News confirmed this afternoon that it is a $230 million figure that is being considered. There's been no recent movement on this matter. It's just that the reporting has come out. But I think the conflict here is as clear as day, and you don't have to be an expert in ethics or law to see that the Department of Justice has to approve this money. They'd be the ones to decide. They work for him.
Right.
And it's not just that they're technically employees of his. These are some of his closest allies. The top DOJ officials are literally his defense attorneys from these cases. The top three officials that are relevant here were all one-time lawyers of Trump as recently as January. There's all kinds of conflict here.
Yeah, the president's saying he would give the money to charity, but the big question is, should he even get it? I'm kind of curious, if he were to get that $230 million, if he would put $22 million of that towards the big ballroom project at the White House. Scott, it is so strange to see the construction crews coming in and just taking down part of the White House.
Some people just don't like the look of this. And I think this is another one where your politics may define how you view this. But the look of a sledgehammered out, wrecking balled White House East Wing bothers some people. No matter if it's for the greater good, no matter who's paying the bills, this just kind of happened. and nobody was told in advance the size and scope of what was going to go on at the People's White House. I don't know that it's clear who's going to pay for the enormity of this project. It is clear this did not go through a traditional process for renovations and changes to landmarks in Washington, D.C. There are a couple really bureaucratic agencies that are obscure. The Commission of Fine Arts and the National Capital Planning Commission that must approve every change that is visible to a landmark facility in Washington, D.C. And you're talking about bureaucracy. They will tie this thing up for months or years, whatever the change may be, to ensure history and aesthetics are maintained. This is the White House, arguably the most famous, most impactful, important landmark. It's just been sledgehammered open. And the National Capital Planning Commission and Commission for Fine Arts did not render decisions publicly that this can happen. And what's perhaps most noteworthy here is those two obscure agencies were commandeered by the president. He installed his own people and fired the old people when he came into office in January.
That's kind of a crazy scene, no doubt. I'm sure there's been work done in the White House inside before. It's an old building, but just to see it kind of wide open like it's like your neighbor's house renovation is just not something I'm prepared to see.
I don't know that it goes over well with everybody, but I don't know that it's objectionable to everybody. I think it's far more going to fall down traditional party lines on that one. I don't know about the $230 million. I've heard equivocating responses from Republicans to that. They have not defended it. In fact, the ones that we caught up to so far today just said they haven't heard about much about it yet and want to look more into the matter. Kind of the old version of, I didn't read the tweet. I don't know what you're talking about. We'll see what they say once they've read in on this. $230 million taxpayer payout to the president.
I think it would be different, too, for some people when it comes to this big ballroom project if they just built a new area from the ground up and they were just building a new ballroom. That would just be a different visual. It's just so strange to see it like this. I will say, though, speaking of visuals.
I think that's what people envisioned. I think people expected that
right?
when they heard about it at first.
But we've seen so many videos of the president dancing. I feel like I can close my eyes and visualize President Trump dancing in his new ballroom.
Maybe he's next Dancing with the Stars is where they're going to host it, right? Maybe there's a bigger thing behind it, right?
Okay,
it's never small.
You could be onto something.
It's never small with the president.
I feel like he would like that.
I think he would, too.
The ratings would be the best ever.
I think he would enjoy that as well. Always good to catch up. We got a long list of stuff we didn't even get to with Scott McFarlane here. We'll save some of it for next week. Always great to check in, Scott. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Scott.
There's no way I'm rooting for the Dodgers. I'll just tell you that.
Okay. Aww. Yeah. Well, we appreciate that. That was a rough
Don't
four games. We got through it. We are Blue Jays fans. I think many here in Wisconsin too. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you both.
You bet. 12:51 on WTMJ.